Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. Beginning at verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphim unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this has touched thy lips, thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. And he said, Go and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and convert and be healed. Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, Until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate, and the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. But yet in it shall be a tenth, and it shall return, and shall be eaten as a teal tree, and as an oak, whose substance is in them when they cast their leaves. So the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. Let's have a word of prayer together. Father, we thank you for your word to our hearts today. We think of Isaiah, this great prophet of God who had this vision of yourself. And we just pray that you'll help us to get the message that he brought. Speak to us and teach us what we need to know and make us what we ought to be. Help us to be faithful witnesses for you wherever we go and whatever we have the opportunity to do. We do pray, our Father, today for Steve and Dawn and Carmela as they are grieving the loss of their loved one, Jim, and pray that you will undertake for them and give them the strength that they need to face the memorial service and all that's coming up. Lord, we do pray for others who are going through difficulties at this time. We know a number of people are having various infirmities and things that are bothering them right now. We pray that you'll undertake for them. We think of the Volts. We read their letter this morning. And thank you for their faithful service down through all the years that they worked as military missionaries, and pray your blessings upon them in their retirement years, and just guide and direct them in all that they do. We do pray, our Father, for Genesis also, that you'll continue to bless their work, and especially this mother that was mentioned that is facing a new birth, with this little one, and we pray that everything would work out well for that. Lord, we do ask you to guide and help us today in all that we do, that your name might be exalted and magnified, and that each one of us might have our needs met, our spiritual needs especially. May your holy will be done, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Right, I do want to thank Rick for leading the singing this morning. That's a real blessing. Appreciate that so much. All right, let's turn to Isaiah chapter 6 once again and take a look. This wonderful chapter. Isaiah, of course, was one of the greatest prophets of all time. Faithfully proclaimed the message that God gave him to those that would not even accept the message that he was trying to deliver. Here in chapter 6, we find the call of God to Isaiah and his commission to be a prophet. This constitutes the beginning of his life of service. So let's notice what happened to him to make him such an effective servant of God, and see how we too can be committed servants of the living God. We find, first of all, at the beginning here, the vision that he had, the vision of the Lord himself sitting upon the throne in the temple, the living one. It says it was in the year that King Uzziah died. You remember King Uzziah was a good king most of his life. 52 years he reigned over Judah. And Isaiah apparently was close to him. He lived there in Jerusalem and had access to all of these important people. Isaiah apparently was one, maybe a relative even, it's thought, of King Uzziah. And he had guided the people in a period of peace and prosperity. So they no doubt were very sad when he died. And Isaiah is looking at this man who had been stable throughout his life, up until close to the end, has gone. So what are we going to do? It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, you see. And that's the key to this whole idea. Unfortunately, at the end of the life of King Uzziah, we find that he did depart from the way that he should have been going. I wanted to look at this in 2 Chronicles. You might remember the story. I think we referred to it before, but I do want to read it once again. 2 Chronicles in 26 and verse 3. He's talking about what happened here. It says, 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. And he sought to God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. And he went forth and warred against the Philistines and broke down the wall of Gath and the wall of Jabna and the wall of Ashdod. He built cities about Ashdod and among the Philistines. And God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians that dwelt in Gurbal and in the Methunims. Okay, then down to verse 16. Excuse me. But there's that big but. When he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God, and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men. That's 80. 80 different priests tried to get him out of there. And they withstood Uzziah the king, and said unto him, It appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed. Neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God. Then Uzziah was wroth, and he had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priests, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord from besides the incense altar. And Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead. And they thrust him out from thence. Yea, himself hasted also to go out, because the Lord had smitten him. And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in a several house, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. And Jotham his son was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. So kind of a tragic story here, isn't it? Uzziah lived many years and was pleasing to the Lord. He went into battle. He won a great battles and all of that. But then when he got proud, apparently, when he thought he knew better than everyone else, and he went into the house of the Lord to offer the incense. And God said, no, you can't do that. And so he struck him with leprosy, and he ended up as a leper until the day of his death. So now the king is dead, but God reveals himself to Isaiah as he that lives forever and ever. Look at Revelation chapter 1 and verse 17. Revelation 1:17. Here John says, And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore, and have the keys of hell and of death. So, we find here God himself, the highly exalted one, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the one that Isaiah saw there on the throne. You know, it says no man has seen God at any time, not in all of his essence. But here we find Jesus. Look with me in John chapter 12 for a minute. John 12 and verse 38, it says, Here he's talking about this very incident there in the book of Isaiah. And it says that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake. Lord, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, He has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spoke of him. So here he's talking about the Lord Jesus, himself is the one that he saw there sitting upon the throne. He says, God is spirit. You can't see God as a spirit, but Jesus is the manifestation of God himself. So Isaiah saw the Lord Jesus Christ in all of his glory. Notice what it says here. It says, the Lord was sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled all the temple. So it shows all of the majesty of who this is, the Lord God himself. Above it stood the seraphim. Who are the seraphim? That's a question, isn't it? Well, it says here, each one had six wings. With two of them, he covered his face. With two, he covered his feet. And with two, he did fly. So, he was well equipped. Six different wings. He covered his face. He couldn't look upon the face of God completely. And he cried out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord." So these are a special group of angels that worship God continually and who exalt him. The word seraphim means burners, burning ones, like flames of fire, praising God in all of his glory. They burn in love to God and zeal for his glory and against sin. Notice he's crying out, "Holy." The Lord God is holy, totally separated from anything that would defile him. He is holy in all of his ways. And these angels are there flying about and crying out, "Holy, holy, holy." And it says the house was filled with smoke. This is a picture. He's seeing him right there in the temple. The king is dead, yes, but the Lord is very much alive. And here he is rejoicing in that and in the holiness of God. And it says that the house was filled with smoke. This is the glory of God, the Shekinah glory it talks about in other places when God came and filled the temple. And here the house is the temple where Isaiah saw the throne of God, and yet it was darkened by the smoke, denoting God's anger at the sin of the people. You know, and he's going to be calling Isaiah to go on this mission. So what a sight we see here, an awesome sight to behold, that God in all of his glory and his holiness, and yet he's concerned about his people. He's going to call this man to be a disciple, a prophet, to go and to reach the people. If we find here, Isaiah sees first of all the Lord, and then in contrast to that, he sees himself in the presence of God. What is his attitude? Notice what he says in verse 5. "Then said I, woe is me. I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." In contrast to God in all of his holiness and righteousness, Isaiah saw himself as undone and of unclean lips. He saw himself as a sinful in the sight of God. Contrast to his holiness and glory, he sees his imperfections. Same thing happened to Job when he saw the Lord. You remember Job in chapter 42 of Job. It's right before Psalms here. Here we go. And verse 5. Job says, when he met God, when God spoke to him, when he came into his presence, he said, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye sees thee, wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. You see, Job realized that God is absolutely holy and that we, compared to him, are far from perfect. We have so many. Even though God had said about Job that he was an upright man, he hadn't done anything sinful, yet in comparison to the Lord, he considered himself a sinner. After a great miracle performed by Jesus, Peter said, Depart from me, O Lord, for I am a sinful man. He realized the difference between the Lord Jesus and himself. So a true experience with the Lord serves to make a believer humble. Well, how can we be proud if we're in the presence of perfection, holiness, righteousness? The best of us still fall far short of his glory. So Isaiah saw himself here as undone. Now let me tell you, there's a little joke. This is something from way back, okay? Isaiah said, Woe is me, I am undone. Did you know that Isaiah had a horse? He said, his name was Isme. Woe is me, because I am undone. All right, anyway, that's my attempt at telling a joke, which I don't do very well. Anyway, and then he saw himself as being unclean, unclean lips. And he confessed his sin, and he was cleansed. Isn't that what the New Testament tells us? It says that we need to confess our sins, and he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We can come to the Lord and ask him to forgive us. It says again that the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So we can praise his name that we are cleansed by the precious blood of Jesus. And here we find, figuratively speaking, Isaiah was cleansed and made ready to go and serve the Lord. It says here in verse 6, one of the seraphims flew to him, having a live coal in his hand, which he took from off the tongs from off the altar, and laid it upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. So he was cleansed from the sin that he was guilty of in this picture here. This, of course, is all a vision that's taking place, but it's teaching something significant that we need to confess our sins to the Lord, and he will. He will forgive us and cleanse us. All these things. I have an illustration here. A young missionary in Central America was tempted to give up. He wrote to his friends and family. He says, I go about on fishing boats throughout the day. At night, I sleep on piles of hides on the deck. The people do not seem to be interested in the gospel message I bring. Sometimes the adversary tempts me to discouragement in the face of seeming lack of success. But then he added, I take courage and press on anew as I remember that God does not hold me responsible for success, but for faithfulness. Isn't that true? As we find throughout the scriptures, this is what God wants more than anything, is that we be faithful to that which he has given us to do. The prophet Isaiah also may have been tempted to to give up his difficult assignment. The Lord told him that the results of his efforts would be that the people would hear but not understand. Now that's a difficult assignment, isn't it? You go and preach to these people. Now they're not going to accept it, but you do it anyway. And keep on doing it until I tell you different. Their hearts were dull, their ears were heavy, their eyes were shut, it says. And it says, put yourself in the shoes of Isaiah or that missionary and see what you think. Would you have pressed on or given up? Is faithfulness enough, or do you think your work must be recognized as successful before you feel satisfied in serving the Lord? The prophet and the missionary did what God asked them to do. They preached God's word and trusted in his purposes. You too can be a faithful servant. Do your best and leave the results in the hands of the Lord. That's good advice, isn't it? There's a poem here. It says, oh, let us be faithful to Jesus. The faith we confess, let's renew. And ask him this question each morning. Lord, what will you have me to do? So Isaiah said, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? You know, we use that many times as in missionary meetings and things like that. You know, the Lord calls and we are to go. And certainly that is true. But we need to, first of all, we see Isaiah had to be cleansed before he was called to go. Up to that point, everything had been preparatory for the mission. And now Isaiah hears here the voice of the Lord speaking to him. Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And he said, here am I, send me. You know, that should be the attitude that each one of us has when God does give us an assignment. We should say, yes, Lord, I'm here. Count on me. And yet it's not easy. Because he goes ahead and says, as I said before, go and tell this people. Hear indeed, but understand not. See ye indeed, but perceive not. Well, that's a difficult task, isn't it? What is the value of telling somebody something if they don't know what you're talking about? Yeah. It's like me going to Italy and trying to talk to those people over there, you know. Not even, you know, anyhow. We find here that he was willing to go and do what God said. Yeah. God doesn't make mistakes. We do, yes. But he doesn't. And when he gives us something to do, then we should do that, right? No matter what the outcome is going to be. He's going to, sometimes you have great success. Some people do. Others, it seems like you're beating your head against a stone wall, right? Can't seem to break through. But continue on. This is a commission that he gave to Isaiah. Go and tell this people. And this is our commission as well. Jesus said, you shall be witnesses unto me. Right? Acts 1 verse 8. It's not an easy task. Isaiah had to proclaim to the people the truth, the unfavorable message that they didn't want to hear. They didn't want to do what he's asking them to do. But a very few, responded with repentance and faith, and then they were able to do it. God promises here that there are going to be some that will. Down to the last verse. but yet in it shall be a tenth, and it shall return and shall be eaten as a teal tree and as an oak, whose substance is in them when they cast their leaves. So the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. There's going to be the remnant that would respond. The vast majority would not. And we find that today as well. The world itself, most people do not respond to the word of God. And yet there are those that do. Like you folks, right? And we need to continue to proclaim the word of God no matter what others may do. He says here that they won't be able to hear, they won't be able to listen. But you go ahead and proclaim the word to them anyway. So we need to take Isaiah as an example to follow. By faith, we see the Lord in all of his glory and power. He had this wonderful experience, you know. It was, I don't know if it was a dream, a vision, or what it was he had, but something God revealed to him of who he was. And that you don't have to be sad about the king dying. That's all in the past. Now we have the Lord. He's always there, right? And we look to him. He is not going to die. He did die once for our sins, but he arose again. And we are looking to him, that he's always with us in every situation. So we prepare ourselves to be his servants. Be cleansed, make sure our hearts are right with him, and then we go and proclaim the message to those around us, whatever way we can, whatever blessings that we can pass on to others and share the good news of the gospel with them. So we have here, we've been called to live a righteous life, first of all. And we've been called to be his witnesses in this world in which we live. So, that's the question for each one of us to consider. Are we going to answer the Lord's call the way Isaiah did? He says, "Here am I, send me." Or are we going to continue to sit idly by while people perish? And we don't do anything while the church continues to flounder, right, and die. What are we going to do? That's the question we have to ask ourselves, isn't it? And how we can serve the Lord in the way that we should. Father, we thank you for your word to our hearts this morning. We thank you for the faithfulness that you have toward us. Lord, you've called us to be your witnesses in this world in which we live. Help us to reach out in every way we can to bring others to Christ and to be a blessing to one another. We just thank you for all that we have in Christ Jesus our Lord and pray that you will lead us and guide us by your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.